Exodus chapter 20, starting at verse 1. And God spoke all these words. I am the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself an image in the form of anything in heaven above, or on the earth beneath, or in the waters below. You shall not bow down to them or worship them. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, punishing the children for the sin of the parents to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me, but showing love to 1,000 generations of those who love me and keep my commandments. You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God, for the Lord will not hold anyone guiltless who misuses his name. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you nor your son or daughter, nor your male or female servant, nor your animals, nor any foreigner residing in your towns. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, but he rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. Honor your father and your mother, so that you may live long in the land the Lord your God is giving you. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not give false testimony against your neighbor. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife or his male or female servant, his ox or donkey, or anything that belongs to your neighbor.
Welcome. Let me add my welcome to Dan's. My name is James, if we have not met. Let's ask God for help as we come to this commandment. Father God, thank you that your law is good and precious, and light for our eyes. And we pray that tonight you would help us to understand you as we look at what you've commanded your people in the past, and what you command your people now. Please would you give us understanding. Please would you convict us where we need convicting. Please comfort us where we need comforting. More than anything, we pray that you and the Lord Jesus would be put on display, that we'd trust in you more as a result of what we hear tonight. If we pray it in Jesus' name, amen. I wonder what thought comes into your head if I were to mention Parents' Evening. Parents' Evening. Probably depends if you're an adult, what you were like as a child. If you're still at school, probably depends what you're like in school. Up until a year and a half ago, I was a teacher in a secondary school, and I used to love Parents' Evening. Fascinating evenings. Everybody is different when they're with their parents. Even adults, I think, when we're with our parents, we're a bit different. I think you don't really know somebody until you meet their parents, and then you're like, oh, okay. So much just clicks into place. A lot of times the apple doesn't fall far from the tree, or sometimes the apple is trying to get as far away from the tree as possible. Parenthood is a unique relationship, isn't it? And as a unique relationship, it has pride of place in these 10 commandments, bringing together the two halves of the commandment that deal with our vertical relationship with God and then our horizontal relationship with each other. It begins a transition between loving God and loving our neighbor. And tonight we'll see that the parent-child relationship really is a training ground for both, for loving God and loving other people. We're going to look at what the command meant then, what it means for us now, and a few difficulties that we may have to navigate on the way. Firstly, what does it mean? What does it mean? Well, have a look down at Exodus 20, verse 12. We read, honor your father and mother so that you may live long in the land the Lord God is giving you. The word honor means to give something its due weightiness. So basically, it's a call to consider your parents on a different level to you. So, you know, if you're driving next to an HGV, you know, one of those massive lorries, you're going to drive differently or treat it differently than you would a mini or a cyclist. Not that you should, but you might do. Partly because the HGV is weighty. Or when you're moving you're moving boxes and you come to the box of books, you're going to approach that a bit differently than you would the box of pillows. It's weighty. Our parents are weighty people. There's a gravity to them, and the way we relate to them needs to reflect that. They're not just anybody. Look at how seriously God wanted the Israelites to take the commandment. If you just look across the page, Exodus 21, verses 15 and 17. It says, anyone who attacks their father or mother is to be put to death. And verse 17, anyone who curses their father and mother is to be put to death. Similarly, in Deuteronomy 21, the penalty for persistent and stubborn rebellion for a wayward, rebellious child was stoning, death by stoning under the old covenant. Proverbs 30, and verse 17 says, the eye that mocks a father, that scorns an aged mother, will be pecked out by the ravens of the valley, will be eaten by the vultures. The commands for Israel to honor their parents, whether in what is said to them, in how they think about them, how they treat them, their attitude towards them, the parental relationship is serious. This is no trivial command. But let's go deeper. 16th century French theologian John Calvin broke down this commandment of honor into three facets, which I think are helpful, so we'll use that as well. He broke it down into obedience, reverence, and gratitude. So obedience, respect if you want, and gratitude. That is, for God's people to give their parents their due weight in their life looked like revering them, like respecting them and the role that they had in their lives, counting that as weighty. It looked like obedience, which will be different at different stages of life. We're going to talk about that later. But it's having a posture of taking what they say seriously. Proverbs 23:22 says, listen to your father who gave you life, and do not despise your mother when she is old. I think the two halves of the verse are saying the same thing there. Like, listen to your parents, even when they're old, because they gave you life. Honor also looks like gratitude. Looks like recognizing what our parents have done for us, expressing that gratitude verbally, but also gratitude in actions and acts of service. And we're going to get into that a bit later as well. And the reason given for the commandment is there in the verse, in Exodus 20, verse 12. It says, so that you may live long in the land the Lord your God is giving you. And I'm sorry to disappoint, but this isn't the secret to a long life. It's not guaranteeing that people who are obedient children will live to a ripe old age, where disobedient ones will die young. The commandment is particularly important because of the role that parents played in the life of their children, and still do play. Our families of origins are the first places where we learn to interact with the world. And our parents, in particular, they play a massive role in that. Jen Wilkins writes in her book on the Ten Commandments that our home is like a testing lab for the world. So you know how if they're making a new Dyson Hoover, for example, they don't just make it and then, I don't know, start selling it and hope it works without testing it. No, they test in the laboratory, and if it all goes well, they've got a good predictor of how well it will work in real life, in the real world. Home is like that for children. It's where they try out how the world works before they get let loose in the world. And parents shape the home. And that was just as true for Israel in their day, and in their relationship with God in particular. That's what the long life language is about in verse 12 there. Israel's stay in God's land was conditional on their faithfulness to God. Not their perfection, but their faithfulness. And you can read in Deuteronomy chapter 28 about God's promised curses for disobedience to the law and unfaithfulness, culminating in exile. If they wanted to live long in the land, they would have to obey God and be faithful to him. And it was parents' responsibility in particular to pass on to the next generation an understanding of who Yahweh was and what he'd done for the nation. Many of the festivals, including Passover, were set up by God so that parents would have an opportunity to tell children about God's rescue, about what he's done for them, and to show them tangibly that it is a beautiful thing to be part of God's people and to get to trust in him and to get to obey him. That's how it was supposed to work. Israel, honor your parents. Let them pattern for you what faith in Yahweh looks like. Follow them so you can continue in the promised land for a long and happy time. That's the pattern. That's how it was supposed to work. And we're not in the same covenant as Israel here. But the importance of parents is no less true today. Jen Wilkin goes on to say this: a Christian parent trains her child to submit to her visible and temporary authority so that a child might one day submit to God's invisible and eternal authority. I'll read that again. A Christian parent trains her child to submit to her visible and temporary authority so that her child might one day submit to God's invisible and eternal authority. Parents are the first place that we encounter someone who loves us and who provides for us, and who doesn't let us do everything we want to, but instead leads us and instructs us for our good. Good parenting should make it really plausible that being under good authority is a blessing and not a curse. And particularly that being under God's good authority is a blessing and not a curse. Parenting is a weighty thing. The gravity of our parents affects the orbit of our lives for good or for bad. The commandment called Israel to reflect that weightiness in respecting their person, respecting their words, respecting their role in their lives. As Joel said in Sermon 1, these 10 commandments are our pattern too. Jesus fulfilled them perfectly, so following him is going to look like increasing in obedience to the 10. So we're going to think about what it looks like in practice. What should be pretty obvious is that honoring parents is not going to be identical for everybody. I mean, it won't look like identical for you as an individual at every stage of your life. If we take those three facets of obedience and respect and gratitude, that's probably a helpful place to start. And we're going to think at different parts of our life, certain ones will be particularly relevant to us. So we're going to trace what it might look like at different stages of our lives. Firstly, what's it going to look like? What does it look like for children? Well, for children, while your parents are responsible for you, one of the most important ways that you honor your parents is by obeying them. That's how Paul applies this commandment in Ephesians 6. He says this, he says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother," he's quoting the commandment there, "which is the first commandment of the promise, so that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy long life on the earth." And he says a similar thing in Colossians chapter 3. He says, "Children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord." Jesus absolutely loves it when you obey your parents, because you're learning what it looks like to relate well to your heavenly Father. And it's really important to say that these are instructions given to Christians, Christian children, children who are trusting in Jesus. You don't earn salvation. You don't get on good terms with God by obeying your parents. But if Jesus has saved you and you trust in him, then one way to please him is by obeying your parents. We do it because of God's love, not to earn God's love. It's amazing, really, to think that even Jesus, when he was a child, obeyed his parents, even though he was perfect and they weren't. So as you get older, as you go through your teen years, And you may well think you know better than your parents. If you're a follower of Jesus, then be like him. Obey your parents. Particularly to any teens here this evening, let me press this in a little for you in terms of faith. To have Christian parents is who follow Jesus and who would love for nothing more than for you to do the same is a massive privilege, a real gift from God to be incredibly thankful for. So if you're trusting in Jesus and trying to navigate what that looks like in real life, like you don't have to figure out this stuff by yourself. And yes, your outer leaders are fantastic, but there are people who know you much, who have known you much longer and know you much deeper and who will be in your life longer still. Your parents are more weighty than us. Don't be afraid to talk to them about what it means to follow Jesus, the difficulties that that involves. And for those of you who aren't sure about what you think about Jesus yet, don't be quick to dismiss what your parents have taught you about Jesus. Take seriously what you've heard from them. Ask them about why they even trust in Jesus themselves, even if that's not clicking for you yet. Take their words seriously. And we haven't even gone into respect and gratitude. Kids, young people, take every opportunity to reflect on what your parents mean to you, on all that they do for you, and thank them. They didn't do it for the praise, but I'm sure it would mean the world to them to hear thank you. That's honouring your parents as children. What about as adults? Well, as we grow up and grow in our independence, which is right and good, then it's right that the parent-child relationship will be different, isn't it? Obedience no longer characterizes our relationship with our parents. But we should still value them as people. We should still value their words and consider them weighty in our lives. Remember that the Ten Commandments aren't written to kids primarily. They're given to adults. Now, the main people God is speaking to here when he says, honor your father and mother, are grown men and women. If we want to live beautiful lives that reflect God's character, part of that looks like having a posture of respect and gratitude towards our parents. And that doesn't mean that we're naive about their flaws or in denial about the ways that they sin against us. And one Christian counselor says that normally we think of obedience to this fifth commandment as passive pleasantness. You know, bite your tongue, don't rock the boat. But the command here doesn't mean that we never have hard conversations with our parents. Doesn't mean we suppress all negative emotions regarding our parents. Doesn't mean that our parents get to control our lives. Sometimes love and respect for parents will look exactly like disagreeing with them or lovingly correcting them. But when we do so in a way that bears in mind who they are. They are weighty people in our lives. For some of us, and I mean myself, we might need to make more time for our parents, whether that's in seeing them or calling them. For some of us, respecting our parents might mean saying, you know, sorry, I was such a pain when I was younger. Or, you've done so much for me, let me treat you in this way. Some of us may need to watch how we talk about our parents to our children, if we have them. As adults, we should live in a way that shows that we respect them and are grateful for their place in our lives, however imperfect that may be. There's another stage that many of us will walk through at one point or another. What does this command look like when my parents need help? Many of you know from personal experience what it looks like to be needed by a parent or both. It could be that a parent gets suddenly ill and needs extra help. It could be that they've gone through a bereavement and need some emotional support or financial support. Or it may be that the years have just taken their toll and they're not able to live as independently as they once were or as they would like to. Let me just say, for those of you in that situation, Caring for your parents in these ways, as difficult as I know it is a beautiful way of honoring your parents. Part of what this commandment ensures is that parents are cared for in really practical ways. God loves that. Jesus in Matthew 15 addresses the Pharisees, who kind of added a loophole to this commandment by saying, you know, if anybody declares what they might have used to help their parents, to help their father and mother is devoted to God, then they're not to honor their mother and father with it. You're not a gift to God instead of giving to your parents, instead of looking after them. And Jesus says, you nullify the word of God for the sake of your tradition. You hypocrites. He has strong words for them. It may look really pious, but it's nothing more than lip service to God. He says it's fake worship. It doesn't mean we get to neglect our parents and blame God. It is true worship to look after our parents. God commands it here. So for those of you who genuinely find yourselves limited in time or money, you feel that you're unable to spend as much time as you would on other things, maybe sometimes on explicitly kingdom-related things, know that Jesus loves your obedience to this commandment. Jesus is not disappointed that you can't do more. As you honor your parents, you honor God, and he absolutely loves it. And there are all sorts of practical questions about what happens when our parents aren't able to live independently. And there can be lots of unnecessary guilt around those decisions. Honoring our parents may mean that our parents come to live with us, but it's not quite as simple as that. A retirement home or a nursing home could very well be the place where your parents will be most cared for, most honored. We can show honor to our parents in the way that these decisions are made, in taking an interest in them while they're there, in visiting them. At every stage of life, we honor our parents by showing that they are significant, weighty people in our lives. By having a posture of obedience, respect, and gratitude, which changes. But your parents, I can say to them, we can live to them, you matter to us. Your words matter to us. We're grateful for what you've done for us. That glorifies God. He loves it. But we've spoken pretty idealistically so far. And this is a real word. And this commandment is tricky for some of you to obey at the best of times. So I want to touch on just two situations. There are probably as many situations as there are people in this room. But let me deal with two particularly tricky situations. Firstly, what if my parents don't love Jesus? For all of us, even if we have Christian parents, Jesus says that our loyalty to him takes priority over our loyalty to anyone else, even our parents. So in Matthew chapter 10, Jesus says this. He says, "Don't suppose that I've come to bring peace to the earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I've come to turn a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. A man's enemies will be the members of his own household. Anyone who loves their father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. Anyone who loves their son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. Whoever does not take up their cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Whoever finds their life will lose it, and whoever loses their life for my sake will find it." Really tough words from Jesus. Remember, that's the same Jesus who says that honoring your father and mother is important. But the hard reality there is that when someone decides to follow Jesus, then there is division caused. Families are no longer pulling in the same direction, don't have the same priorities, the same values, the same God. Some of you will experience some level of that sword that Jesus says he brings here. It could be that your parents don't agree with the way that you use your money or your time to honor Jesus. or they actively try and dissuade you from following Jesus wholeheartedly. Maybe they really hate what the Bible says. Maybe you used to be really close to your mum and dad, but they're really awkward about you right now. There have been members of our church family who have been cut off from their families because of following Jesus, cut out of inheritance, unable to return to their home. Jesus says this is like taking up a cross and following Jesus to death. It feels like death. But Jesus also promises here that whoever loses their life for Jesus' sake will find life because they've got Jesus. There's no other way. Jesus must take priority. And that can be particularly hard, particularly if we're from a background where family loyalty is everything. We must love him more than our parents. We must obey him over them. But as much as we're able, the call still is to honor them, to still say to them, you matter, your words matter. I'm grateful for what you've done for me. Pastor Kevin DeYoung, in his book on the Ten Commandments, suggests that this is one way to witness to our parents. Wouldn't it be a terrible witness to parents if, as a result of following Jesus, all they could see in your life was that you were less respectful or less willing to honor them? We should live so that our unbelieving parents can say, you know what, I don't agree with this Jesus stuff that you've been talking about, but I can't deny that you've changed. You're wonderful to be around. Maybe there's something in this. Honor your parents, even if they don't love Jesus. But there's one last thing that I want to acknowledge tonight. And that's, what if my parents don't deserve honor? The reality is that all parents sin against their children. All of them, the best of them. All parents sometimes, but some parents overwhelmingly use their weight and their words to harm their children rather than build up. Some parents cause significant damage to their children through neglect, through abuse, through manipulation. For some of you, when you hear the thought of a heavenly father, that makes you recoil. Like, what do we do if the damage that we've been dealt by parents means that we have little or no respect for them? Very little to be grateful for. So much of that is dependent on the situation, and I hate to give blanket statements to cover such a sensitive topic. But let me say once again that honoring your parents doesn't mean sweeping those things under the carpet. It doesn't mean never talking about the pain that you've experienced. It might be that you need to find somebody who can help you work through those things. That might involve a conversation with them. For some, that might mean a change in your relationship with them. We've talked a bit about how parents provide a template to understand God's loving authority. But please don't think that God is a bigger version of your mother or father. Now, they are meant to reflect a God who uses his weight and words in ways that are compassionate and good and just all the time. So as you look around and find no earthly parent whose person and words you're grateful for, then look up. To paraphrase Jen Wilkin again, every failing of an earthly authority or parent causes us to long for authority to be wielded as only God can wield it. Every failure of our earthly mothers and fathers should drive us to our perfectly heavenly Father, who in every circumstance is perfectly good and works for our good perfectly. Parents are weighty people, for good or for bad. And it's God's will that we honor their role in our lives, so that as we honor our visible, imperfect earthly parents, we'll learn to honor our invisible, perfect Heavenly Father. But which of us can say that we've done that? Who of us hasn't disobeyed our parents or lied to them or rebelled in secret behind their back or said things we regret, failed to show the gratitude we should? How we treat our visible parents is also a picture of how we tend to treat our invisible God. Dishonor, disobedience, disrespect, ingratitude. How much more shocking is our rebellion against the God who's perfectly wise and perfectly good? How much more shameful is our ingratitude to a God who not only formed us, but sustains our life moment by moment? Thank God that in his love, we don't have to bear the punishment we deserve for rejecting his loving authority. Because the Lord Jesus died to pay for it all and has given a perfect righteousness. So for us who trust in Jesus, God looks at us now as though we've always honored our parents and always honored our Heavenly Father perfectly. If you're trusting in Jesus, you have a loving Heavenly Father who gave the very best thing he could give to bring us back into relationship with him, who has committed himself to his children for more than like long life in a new land, but for eternal life with him in a new heavens and a new earth. We have more reason to obey this command than anyone else. Let's trust him. Let's honor God by honoring our mother and father. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the pattern you've given us for families and parents. Father, we thank you for parents who have been good to us, who have raised us, who has taught us about you, who have provided for us in different ways. Father, we mourn the ways our parents have failed us, in the way they've shown a bad picture of who you are, the ways they've sinned against us. Father, we're sorry for the ways in which we've failed to honor our parents. And similarly, we fail to honor you, where we disregard who you are, where we disobey your words, where we have no gratitude for what you've done for us. Father, thank you for the Lord Jesus who perfectly did both. Thank you for his obedience that gets credited to us. Father, for those of us who know you, please would you help us to entrust ourselves to you. Thank you, you care for us better than the most perfect parent ever could. Thank you, our heavenly, perfect Father, in place of our broken earthly parents. Father, trusting you, help us to honor both. Help us to honor our parents. Help us to honor you. Help us to look more and more like Jesus as he does this. For we pray it in his name. Amen. To close, we're going to sing a couple of songs that help us reflect on the love that our Father has for us and the promises that he's made to us, what he's got in store for us. So let's stand and let's sing.